April 1st through 14th, Matthew chapter 16 and 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. Thou art the Christ. During the next 2 weeks, ponder Peter's testimony found in Matthew 16, 15 through 17, and the testimonies of the prophets and apostles that you will hear during General Conference. Isn't it strange that the Pharisees and Sadducees would demand that Jesus show them a sign from heaven? Weren't his many well-known miracles enough? What about his powerful teachings, or the multiple ways he had fulfilled ancient prophecies? Their demand was prompted not by a lack of signs, but by an unwillingness to discern the signs and accept them. See Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Peter, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, witnessed the Savior's miracles and heard his teachings. But Peter's definitive testimony, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," did not come through his physical senses, his flesh and blood. His testimony was revealed to him by our Father which is in heaven. Revelation is the rock upon which the Savior built his church, then and now. Revelation from heaven to his servants. And this is the rock upon which we can build our discipleship. Revelation that Jesus is the Christ and that his servants hold the keys of the kingdom. When we are built upon this foundation, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. See Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. Ideas for personal scripture study. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, and Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 21. A testimony of Jesus Christ comes by revelation. If Jesus Christ asked people today, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" their answers would differ from the answers given by people in his time. What modern attitudes toward Jesus have you noticed? How would you respond if Jesus asked you, "Whom say ye that I am?" Ponder your testimony of the Savior and how you received it. What do you learn from Matthew 16, 15 through 17 that could strengthen it? If you would like to learn more about testimony and personal revelation, explore these scriptures: John chapter 15, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, 2 Nephi 31, verse 18, Alma chapter 5, verses 45 through 48, and Doctrine and Covenants section 8, verses 2 and 3. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, Mark 9, verses 2 through 10, and Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? When Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain, he was transfigured or glorified before them. Moses and Elias, or Elijah, also appeared and bestowed priesthood keys on the apostles. These keys enabled them to lead Christ's church on the earth after his resurrection. See Bible Dictionary, Transfiguration, Mount of. These keys were also restored in our day. See Doctrine and Covenants section 110. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19, and chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The keys of the kingdom of heaven that the Savior promised to give Peter are priesthood keys. See Matthew 16, verse 19. Quote, "Priesthood keys are the authority God has given to priesthood leaders to direct, control, and govern the use of his priesthood on earth. The exercise of priesthood authority is governed by those who hold its keys." See Doctrine and Covenants, section 65, verse 2, section 81, verse 2, and section 124, verse 123. Those who hold priesthood keys have the right to preside over and direct the church within a jurisdiction. End quote. From Handbook 2, Administering the Church, 2.1.1. The keys of the priesthood given to Peter and the other apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration were restored in our day. See DNC 110, verses 11 through 16. Those who hold priesthood keys include the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles and other general authorities, presidents of temples, missions, stakes, and districts, and bishops, branch presidents, and quorum presidents. See also Neil L. Anderson, Power in the Priesthood, Ensign Orleahona, November 2013. See also True to the Faith, pages 126 through 127, and Priesthood Keys, The Restoration of Priesthood Keys, video, lds.org. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, and Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. When seeking greater faith, I must first hold on to the faith I already have. The father mentioned in Matthew 17 and Mark 9 had reasons to doubt that Jesus could heal his son. He asked Jesus' disciples to heal his son, and they could not. But when Jesus invited him to exercise faith, he did not focus on his doubts. "Lord, I believe," he said, and then, in acknowledgement that his faith was not perfect, added, "Help thou mine unbelief." What did the Spirit teach you as you read about this miracle? How has Heavenly Father helped you increase your faith? What can you do to build upon the faith you already have? Perhaps you can compile a list of scriptures, conference messages, or experiences that have strengthened your faith. See also Jeffrey R. Holland, Lord, I Believe, Ensign Orleahona, May 2013. Ideas for Family Scripture Study and Family Home Evening. As you read the scriptures with your family, the Spirit can help you know what principles to emphasize and discuss in order to meet the needs of your family. Here are some suggestions. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, and 17, verses 1 through 9. To teach children about priesthood keys, you could tell Elder Gary E. Stevenson's story about getting locked out of his car. See Where Are the Keys and Authority of the Priesthood, Ensign Orleahona, May 2016. You could let your children use keys to open the house, the car, or other locks. Consider showing a picture of the president of the church and testifying that he holds all the priesthood keys, just as Peter did. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Prophets with faith in Jesus Christ have moved mountains. See Jacob chapter 4, verse 6, and see Moses chapter 7, verse 13. The following testimony from Bishop Richard C. Edgeley can help make this verse relevant to your family. Quote, "I have never witnessed the removal of an actual mountain. But because of faith, I have seen a mountain of doubt and despair removed and replaced with hope and optimism. Because of faith, I have personally witnessed a mountain of sin replaced with repentance and forgiveness. And because of faith, I have personally witnessed a mountain of pain replaced with peace, hope, and gratitude. Yes, I have seen mountains removed." End quote. From faith, the choice is yours. Ensign Orleahona, November 2010. What are some mountains in our lives that need to be moved? How can we show faith in God's power to help us remove these mountains? Luke chapter 9, verses 61 through 62. What does it mean to look back after putting our hand to the plow? Why would this attitude make us not fit for the kingdom of God? Improving our teaching. Gather together often. President Henry B. Eyring taught, quote, "Never miss a chance to gather children together to learn of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Such moments are so rare in comparison with the efforts of the enemy." End quote. From The Power of Teaching Doctrine, Ensign May 1999.